Those were just a few that wanted to say happy birthday to you. We're going to take our message from Acts chapter 2 tonight, if you want to be turning there. You should have known we'd still have preaching. Amen. After the preacher we had Sunday night, I definitely got to make up for the depth of it. So I said Acts 2 would be Acts 11. I'm sorry, Acts chapter number 11. And tonight I'm going to use Dr. Gray with the scripture to kind of help all of us. I read something, saw something somewhere, I don't remember where I saw it, but it was something to the effect of we shouldn't wait till people are gone to tell them how much we appreciate them. We shouldn't wait till people are gone to talk about the influence and the impact they've had. So tonight, I want to do that a little bit, and I think through this, I think God will get some glory out of it, and I think that we'll be helped and we'll be challenged. And it's something, 80 years of God's grace in the life of Dr. Bob Gray. And certainly, if you had told me years ago that Tom Neal would be sitting back there and Bob Gray would be sitting right there and I'd be up here, I'd have taken that bet. I'd have lost, but I'd have taken that bet that that was not going to happen. But certainly, we want to do that tonight. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Barnabas is one of those characters that often gets overlooked because he's not Paul. In this period of time, Paul certainly was one used in a way that was very unusual, never used in the same way again. But certainly, Paul was significant in his power, in his abilities. Barnabas was a great man in his own right. And if you asked me, don't you want to be the next Apostle Paul? I'd say no. I prefer not to get imprisoned, beaten, shipwrecked. I'd serve God with all of that. Barnabas sounds pretty good, doesn't he? Think of this. He was a good man, full of God and full of faith. Barnabas is a good example of what we ought to be striving to be. Would you agree with that? I have not known Dr. Gray, certainly as long as his children has, obviously, or others of you, but from what I've seen from a distance and what I've got to picture, know up close in recent years, that I could say that, in my opinion, Dr. Gray certainly embodies what we see here. And tonight, I just want to go through a few things here to help us celebrate his 80 years and let his life speak to us. If I know Brother Gray at all, he wants his life to have made a difference. And can I say it has? And we don't know him as well as others do, because some of you still don't even know that he's a member here because he's never here. That's why we get along. But he certainly, we enjoy the times he is here, but he certainly has made a great, great difference in his 80 years. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we think of a good man full of God and full of faith. Father, I pray that you'd use the message tonight to certainly honor you, but to give acknowledgement to a life of belief in you, and may it challenge each and every one of us. May we realize that no matter who we are, what role we play, we can impact the life of somebody else. We can impact somebody's eternity by giving them the gospel. And may we take this occasion and let the scripture speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as we want to recognize Brother Gray's 80th birthday, we're not necessarily here to honor him. There's a lot of criticism that goes around when you want to give honor to somebody as inappropriate or man worship, and that's certainly not what we're going to do. But it is an acknowledgement, as we've already stated, it's a responsibility of us, even as countrymen, to acknowledge those that have gone before us, those as Christians, to acknowledge those who've gone before us. But we find an example here in Scripture that there's one whose wisdom and grace and God, we're here to exalt God, and in His wisdom and grace, He chose to use a man. The Bible tells us that God gives gifts to the church. I've often reminded you that when you get upset at your pastor, let me remind you, I'm God's gift to you. I said that the first time a few of you asked what the return policy was, and there's no returns. Not all gifts come wrapped in boxes. And certainly, as we celebrate 80 years of life and Dr. Gray, but more than that, this is what I want us to see. I want us to see that we're celebrating what God can do with a life that's fully yielded to Him. What God would do with a life. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. I'm sure His children would say, Dr. Gray is not perfect. Dr. Gray would not admit that he's not perfect, but we know that none of us are perfect. Our text in Acts chapter 11 speaks of a man named Barnabas. The Holy Ghost chose just a few words to describe him, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Let's look at this and break this down and see how it applies to Brother Gray, but then let's also see how it would apply to our life. Notice that verse 24, where the Scripture says, for he was a good man. I want to focus on those words for the first point tonight, a good man. Now, that on the surface, that seems like it contradicts Scripture when the Scripture tells us, for there are none good. And we know the Bible does not contradict itself, but Barnabas was a good man because he found Christ. And so we thank God for Barnabas' salvation, because the good that is spoken of Barnabas only comes for Christ. You heard just a few of those who Brother Gray preaches for, a few of those who he's impacted their life, and certainly there's many who could not, we could be here all night saying that, but what are they saying? It's not necessarily him per se, but it's what God has done through him. So let me remind you, whether you've been saved a day, a decade, or for 50 years, it's not what you can do, it's not what your abilities are, it's what God does through you. And certainly, it's appropriate for us tonight to celebrate somebody's birthday, the stature of Dr. Gray, and we have to acknowledge the fact, but thank God for salvation. I mean, he's mean and ornery as a Christian. Can you imagine him being lost? That should have registered a lot more than it did. But thank God that he got saved. His testimony as a child when he trusted Christ as a Savior after a pastor preached on hell. Boy, the things that God has done, and maybe be inspired as a preacher. I know I'm inspired by those who have preached for decades and have been faithful, and God has used them, whether it's on a large platform or tucked back in the woods somewhere. The fact that God can use a man through salvation, unless we get too big-headed in our own Christian life, anything you do good for God, anything that I do for God is really not me doing it or you doing it, is God doing through us through His salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know what I speak of, can I tell you, if you meet Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior, you'd be amazed at what He could do with your life. So as we read of the ministry of Barnabas, we can't just say Barnabas had the personality that everybody liked. The Bible does not tell us that. He does not tell us that he was just agreeable all the time. That's not what the Scripture says. But the Scripture says he was a good man. There are some, I'm certain through the years, I don't know any personally, who would be critical of a man in a ministry. I say that facetiously. But the Bible does not say that Barnabas didn't have critics. God established that he was a good man. And what I believe the Scripture is saying there is the good that he became was because he got saved. So I'm thankful for the day that Brother Gray got saved. Certainly it changed his life in eternity, but it allowed God to work through him. As you think of these many years of ministry, every sermon preached, every soul won, every church strengthened, every preacher encouraged, all of it traces back to one sacred moment when a sinner trusted a Savior. That's what it all comes back to, because when we just boil it all down, we're all flesh and blood, and it's what Christ does through us that is what is important. So I think, in my opinion, as I know Brother Gray, I'd say he's a good man. He's like Barnabas. Doesn't mean he's a perfect man. And I was thinking not too long ago about how you and I got acquainted, because we haven't always been BFFs. When I was a younger preacher, there were some things, and I would text him. I was right and he was wrong. I don't know if you remember any of this. And he'd fire right back. He never put in there what he was saying under his breath. Now, as time passed and I've gotten wiser, time has proven out that I definitely was right and he was wrong, but What I always appreciated about Brother Gray is it was never personal. We don't have to agree to be friends. We don't have to agree on everything to love each other. And in the way that family is, some of you are going to see family at Christmas time and you don't even like them, but you love them. And it's good that you just see them one time a year. But we don't have to do everything exactly like to love one another and to say, look at what God has done in their life. We move number two, see what else the Bible says, for he was a good man, and what else? And full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Full of the Holy Ghost. That's quite a statement. Because we can claim to have the fullness of Spirit. We can claim to be yielded to him, but God is testifying that it was actually true of this man. Think of that. It's God testifying. See, there was a day that came in Dr. Gray's life, not just that he would yield to salvation and trust Christ, but that he would yield to the purpose God had for him. And that yielding was the life that he had, the Spirit-led life, the surrendering to the Spirit of God. See, this yielding shaped everything. It shaped where he went. It shaped how he lived. It shaped what he loved. It shaped what he refused to compromise. See, the ministry is not a career. And if you're new to church, you need to understand that. At least in an independent Baptist church, it should be this way. We're not trying to move up the ladder. This is where God places us. This is where God puts us. And now from time to time, he moves, not the whole church as we've done a couple of times, but he moves men. But what I'm saying is, it is the yielding to the Spirit of God. It's not a career. It's not a profession. It's not something a man even chooses. The ministry is something that chooses a man. I think of 1 Timothy 1:12, where Paul writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. As I think of this, I think of the fact that being full of the Holy Ghost does not mean a man never gets tired. We make statements like that, full of the Holy Ghost, and I think sometimes we make the Christian life less simple than it really is. We make it things that it's not. This is a yielding to the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean that you never get tired. I'm certain there are days even now when Brother Gray travels that he gets tired. But it means you go on when you're tired. It does not mean that you never face opposition. Now, I'm certain Brother Gray is the first one who's ever preached the gospel and ever pastored for any length of time who's never had anybody oppose him. We're going to present him an award in just a moment as the first preacher in history to never offend anybody with his preaching. You laugh because you know that's not true. It doesn't mean perfection. It means in spite of our humanity, we continue to yield to the Spirit of God so that he can use us in a greater way. It means we stand firm when opposition comes. It does not mean he never knows discouragement. I read of a character like this we see in the Bible, and it would seem like on the surface, man, he never got discouraged. I would dare say if he's flesh and blood, there were times he got discouraged. He's human. But what being full of the Holy Ghost and yielded to the Holy Ghost means, it means you don't quit when you get discouraged. It means you continue trusting God even when discouragement comes. Could I say to the young men and even those who are young preachers, don't just admire an 80-year-old preacher. Copy the yielding that took for him to stay in the ministry that long. Copy the yielding to the Spirit of God. And by the way, being full of the Holy Ghost isn't just a command for preachers. I would dare say that you as a church, and I've used this illustration before, you want a pastor who yields to the Spirit of God. Agreed? You want a Spirit-filled pastor. Do you think it's unfair for a pastor to want a Spirit-filled congregation? Oh, it's not unfair. But here's an example in Scripture of a man who was yielded. Brother Gray, I want to say thank you publicly and personally for your yielding to the Spirit of God through all of these years. Because I'm certain there are stands you didn't want to take, but you yielded. Sermons you didn't want to preach, but you yielded. Decisions you didn't want to make to the best of your ability, you yielded. And so I thank you for that. It's a good example for all of us that even when the will of God gets hard, if it's what God wants us to do, it's what God wants us to do. That's why when you stand in your Sunday school class, that Sunday school class needs a yielded Sunday school teacher. You school teachers, and you, yeah, teach the math and teach all those things, but you need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Mom and Dad, we need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Even our interactions with one another, we need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. In fact, if you're bickering with somebody in church, somebody's not yielded to the Spirit of God. It's an example. You don't get to be 80 years of age still serving God without yielding. We notice in Scripture next, it says that he was also full of faith. Gotta say thank God for Barnabas' faith, but I want to say thank God for Brother Gray's faith. Faith is not proven in a moment. Faith is proven over decades. And we're almost to the point we can say century. But it's not a moment, it's decades. You know, anyone can start well. Very few finish well. And let me say to some of you, you knew I've grown up here. You're familiar with preachers' kids and preachers' families and ministry. We were involved in a lot of things. But can I just remind all of us, you may not have that perspective, the ministry is hard. It's worthy. And compared to what Christ did, it's no comparison. But for somebody to have faith to continue and finish, it's something that should be acknowledged. Dr. Gray has lived long enough to demonstrate what I think is something very valuable and precious, and that's faith that endures. Faith that believes the Bible still works. Faith that believes soul winning still matters. Faith that believes the local church is still God's plan. Faith that believes holiness is still right. Faith that believes truth is still worth standing for. There have been changes in the culture in your lifetime. Fair statement. Changes in technology. I mean, what was it like in the Civil War? I mean, what was it like having to communicate with smoke signals? I don't know what that's like. But certainly, technology, culture, all those things have changed, but one thing has not changed in the life of that man right there is his faith in the message and his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would dare say he's got the same Bible that he's always used, the same gospel, the same burden for souls. Again, I'm reminded by the Apostle Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That does not say for all of us, to remind us, does not say for a man to be found talented, privileged, with the opportunities. It just says faithful. I'm also reminded the scripture says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. God may never allow you to have a ministry in any capacity as His, and you may not be called to preach, but you can stand in that bus, you can stand in that Sunday school classroom, you can rear your children to honor and serve God and hold to that faith. May we all be challenged to finish our race, believing the same thing that we've always believed. You know what this world needs to see? The world needs to see and believe that book's real. It don't need to be impressed with me. It don't need to be impressed with you. It don't need to be impressed with anything. It's certainly not impressed with our building. But you know what this world needs to see? That we believe what we say we believe. That we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only way to heaven. He is life-changing. That's why, Christian, if you're discouraged, let's get over that tonight, because Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. The faith, let's finish. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I always feel 100% like I should. But I can tell you this, that with God as my helper and the examples of men like Brother Gray, it's like, I don't want to quit. I don't want to disappoint. I don't want people to say, well, this is what he used to be, used to believe. Then number four, I like this. All of that leads to the end of verse 24, and much people was added unto the Lord. See, the true measure of a ministry is not numbers alone. It's changed lives. It's impacted lives. I think it'd be safe to say some of the fruit of Dr. Gray's life is already in heaven. Some of it's scattered across pulpits and mission fields. Some of it's seated in churches across the country. Men who stayed in the ministry because he encouraged them. Souls saved because he believed the gospel was still powerful. Churches strengthened because he refused to compromise. Please, please, let me help us tonight. It says, much people was added unto the Lord. Is that tens of thousands? Is it hundreds of thousands? Is it five? See, that word much does not give us an exact number. Dr. Gray, God has been good in working through his ministry. He's influenced and impacted a lot of lives. There's a lot of people saved because of Dr. Bob Gray. There's a lot of people encouraged because of Dr. Bob Gray. But that's still much. Are you following me? Hey, Sunday school teacher, you're going to start that new class. You may start with five. You know what that is? That's much. That's much. You say, oh, I wish I could win one every week. Win as many as you can. And by the way, we're just doing the telling. God's doing the converting. But no matter what you do, it's still much. Are you following me? You're getting the picture? We just do what we can with what we have, where God has planted us, and we can influence much if we are willing to yield to the Spirit of God, to be full of faith. It all starts with our salvation. That's why no matter what you're going through, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you can overcome it. You can have victory over it. The same power that saved you from hell will save you from whatever you're dealing with. Salvation's a big deal. And I want to go back to that because I just had a good time with this as I was preparing for this. It's a good reminder. We get enamored with the vessel God uses, and I believe in honoring a vessel. We're honoring one tonight. But it's God. It's because of salvation. It's because of the conversion of the soul. It's because of the Spirit of God. It's because of the worthy God using unworthy men. And if you're saved tonight, you may not have the name of Dr. Bob Gray Sr., but to that Sunday school class, you're bigger than him. To those children that live under your roof, you're bigger than him. To that new convert that you save a seat for on Sunday and you encourage and you hold the hymn book for, he'll take this the right way. They don't know who he is. They don't care who he is. But that person who's helping them along the way, you know what that is? That's much. much people added unto the Lord. I don't know how many that is, but and I don't pretend to know why God does certain things. But I can suspect, knowing the nature of man, that he didn't put the number in there so that we could argue about what Paul and Apollos and all of that. But also to remind us that these are people who, saved by the grace of God, God used in ways that they didn't think they could be used, and much people were added unto the Lord. Can I just say, if I can ever come close to what the Bible is saying about this man, I'd be happy with that. I just want much people to be influenced, much people to be added to that. Well, how many is that? However many the Lord will use me to influence and impact. And I'm thankful that God has used this man in a great way. But all of us ought to make up our mind to have much people. Much people we influence. By the way, a lot of you young couples who you're just now, God's just now giving you children and you're rearing them. There's much people that live in your house. There's much people that live under your roof. Let's make sure we teach them the Word of God. Have them under the influence of the Word of God. Philippians 4:17, familiar verse, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When a man lives his life pointing others to Christ, heaven keeps the records. But an 80-year-old testimony leaves us without excuses, doesn't it? Let me finish with this, kind of wrapping it up. And those of you that are members here, you know what that means. Nothing. How do we honor a man of God? The Bible tells us to render honor where honor is due. I think it's appropriate to honor him by thanking God for him, by loving him and praying for him, by listening to the preaching when we hear him preach. That's still God giving us a message through him. By carrying the torch forward. Can I use his faithful life of 80 years to help us as a church, challenge us to carry the legacy that we have been privileged to? Faithful men, there's retired pastors sitting in here tonight besides Brother Gray. I'm afraid one thing that has harmed, my opinion, our churches is we hang on to the good old days and we don't make any new good old days. I thank God for the legacy of ministry and the influence of my life of Dr. Jack Howells, my father, Bob Gray, and others. But those that are in heaven, they're not getting in the prayer closet for anybody. They're not preaching any more sermons. They're not knocking doors. It's what they've left behind. The point I'm making is we have to decide. We must take the torch. And he's still here. He's still kicking. He keeps threatening to stay around for a lot longer, and so I'm not sure how I feel about that. But no, we pray for his health, and we pray for his continued work in ministry. But we have to do what we can do and use the example that is in front of us. Paul said near the end of his life, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. I wrote in my notes here, Dr. Gray is still running. And then I paused, because that's figurative. But in the context, he's still running his race. But we pause to thank God for how far he has run it and how he has done it faithfully. Well, if you're saved tonight, let's be thankful for this dear servant and others like him. If you're not saved, let me invite you to get saved tonight, to trust Christ as your Savior. We do have visitors. We do have people who aren't aren't normally here, and people who aren't here that are normally here tonight. But oh, if you're not saved, would you get that settled tonight? I want to end this way. How many of you are saved tonight on your way to heaven? You know, as you look around and you see the hands go up, somebody was influential in your life for you to get the gospel. You're in church tonight on a Thursday night, a week before Christmas. That's pretty fanatical. But you know why you're here? Well, you love God, first of all. God's done a work in your life, but somebody helped you get here. There's a pastor somewhere that was instrumental in your life. It may have been here. It may have been a childhood pastor. It may have been somebody. I want you to think about them for just a moment. Say, well, pastor, they didn't end right. They didn't. But for that period of time, they were what they needed to be, and God used them for you. You can be thankful for that. Let God worry about the others. You can be thankful for that. Think about them for a moment. Think about what God has done in your life. There's children all over the room. I wonder what God can do with them. I wonder what God has planned for them. Mom and Dad, you can stay faithful. Well, I'd be in the ministry for that long. You know what? You're in the ministry too. Why don't you decide to, I'm going to finish, I'm going to stay in it until God takes me home. Let's be encouraged tonight. Well, I want to have a brief invitation. This is what I want to do. Dr. Gray, when I have an invitation and he's here, you're normally the first one in the altar. That's because you need it the most. This is what I want to do. I want to invite us, if you're able, I want us to come to the altar and thank God for our salvation. That'll be a habit we have every single day. When's the last time you bowed your knee and said, thank you, God, for saving this dirty old sinner? And then I want us to thank God for the people who God used in our life to help us get started for Him, to help us grow with Him. Could we do that tonight? We stand to our feet. I'll let the pianist get to the